Let's sing a chorus. Let's stand together. Before Brother Lloyd comes and preach to us, let's sing a chorus together and worship the Lord.
Look on him, follow me. He has set me free.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, somebody go ahead and let the Lord smile on you this morning. Somebody let the Lord open up the sunshine in this house. I feel the presence of the Lord in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Beautiful thing to have the Lord smile on. I kind of believe that what that song says is for God to smile on you means that His presence has to be there. That'd be a sad thing today that Adam realized that God's presence wasn't walking with him anymore in the garden. What looks so beautiful to the eye can deceive the soul. The scripture talks over and over about what the eye does. The eye is the mirror of the soul. And the things we see, we take into our heart, either bless it or destroy it. And it's a beautiful thing that when you walk before the Lord, your eyes behold the beauty of God, and the Lord smiles. I thought as they were singing that song, a lot of times, since I've been serving the Lord, I've went through something, especially 4 years, last 4 years evangelizing, September would be 4 years. I thought, a lot of times, maybe I'd be going through something, and all the songs I've heard sung, and people have got up and sang before, and beautiful songs. If I had to choose one that I would want to hear when I'm going through something, I want to hear Brother Shirley. He sang, he would take, and a lot of times he would begin to sing the song about, I've had bad days. I've had sad days. I've been up and I've been down. I tell you, I cannot have a beautiful voice, and cannot sing at all, but I love that song. I love to hear my pastor sing it. And he can sing it like nobody else can. He can put meaning behind it because he's been there. People that have been places can put meaning behind things. It's good to have your eyes upon the Lord and to have the Lord's eyes upon you. In the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 6, verse number 46, I will begin here. I prayed and sought the Lord this morning, came and prayed last night, and came back and prayed early this morning. I just had a lot of things upon my mind, and really I don't know which way I'm going to go with this morning, but I do feel this in my soul. Maybe some way God will be able to minister to somebody here and they will get something out of this. Luke chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 46. Scripture says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, who built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let's lift our hands and love the Lord. Lord, we're going to ask you, Lord, to come into this place. Master, fill this house, for this is your house and we are your people. And Lord, we need you, Lord, to minister to our souls, Lord. Set us free of our, God, of our pains and of strife, God, and the problems we face. Minister to our souls, set the captive free, deliver the bound in this house. I believe you, Lord, to minister to us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Thank you, Lord. I want to preach to you this morning about castles of sand. Castles of sand. Castles are supposed to be something beautiful. Something that not everybody has. I thought this morning, I believe this is supposed to be Invite Your Neighbor Day, isn't it? That we are supposed to invite our neighbors. I thought I've got more neighbors here than anybody because of where I live. I live by the church. And so everybody, I've got more neighbors here than anybody this morning. But I kind of got an advantage over you. But I thought that, you know, I'm not really living in a castle, but it's a castle to me. Because in traveling, a lot of times you've got to stay with other people, and that takes the castle out of everything. But when you have your own place becomes a castle to you. And it doesn't matter. I know that some have better cars than others. And no matter what that we've ever owned or driven, people may have wanted to just get in and let their kids just trample all over the seat and, you know, mud and dirt on the bottom of the shoes. But that car to me, it meant a lot. It was nice to me. It may not have been nice to them because maybe they had a better vehicle. So what you have, if you've had to work for it, I heard a man one time say there was a young man in a vehicle and he pulled off the side of the road and began to spin the tires over and smoking, and just smoke just boiling up off the road. And I heard that man say he was kind of an elderly man. I was at the time just a little bit older than probably what the boy was behind the wheel. And he said, yeah, I said, his mama bought those tires. He wouldn't be treating them like that if he paid for them. And I'm going to tell you something. You mistreat things a lot of times if you don't put anything into it. But if you had to buy those tires and you're making the note on that car, it means a lot to you. And so the things we possess, they mean something to us when we work for them. And just like this building here today, the framework of it. When you drove the nails in the plywood and you help, I'm not talking about being paid. And I know that there are certain things that we have to be paid for because of the expense of it. But I'm talking about when you put your time in it, you come here and you donate time to this place and you work around it. It begins to mean something to you in the material, but not only in the material, it means something more to you in the spiritual. When you dedicate things to the kingdom of God, when you begin to put your time and your labor in it. Well, the Bible said there was, I may have mentioned this the other night, possibly I did, but about the woman whose son died, and she brought it there, and one of them said that it was mine, and the other one said, no, it's mine, and we know the story how they swap children. And so when they brought it to the king said, let me just cut it in half, and I'll give one half and you the other half. But the mother, who it was, said, no, don't do this. This is my child, and it's hers. I mean, don't worry about it. She can have the baby. And so the king was very wise, and he said, no, this child belongs to this mother because this mother doesn't want any harm to come to this child. It belongs to her, and Solomon was very wise. And what he was finding out is whose child was it and who really cared about the child, and he done it in a very wise way. And for the mother whose child it was, she didn't want no harm to come to that child. She didn't want any pain, didn't want that child to suffer. And having a child wasn't any good to her. She wanted the whole child. But some people's heart is the same way when it comes to the work of God. It comes to the church and the kingdom of God. To split the church in half doesn't mean anything to them because they don't put anything in it. But when you put things in the kingdom of God and when you labor for the kingdom of God, it means something to you. You don't want to see lives divided. You don't want to see homes divided. You don't want to see minds divided. You don't want to see shipwreck come to people's souls. You want people to be blessed. You want to see everybody be blessed. When there's problems that arise, I found out this past year that a lot of things I thought I possessed in the spiritual realm, I didn't possess them. I thought that things that I was able to overcome, that I found out I wasn't able to overcome that easy. And I found out the person that I thought I was, I really wasn't that person after all. For there are things that only God can bring out in a person. There are places only God can take a man. There's places only God can go in a person's heart. Avenues that you think that haven't been traveled and never been traveled before. Places you think you've gone, you've never went before. So God takes you there. And He leads you there all alone. Then you find out how much you need God. How important God is and how much you are without God. You find out exactly what you really are when you begin to go through things. I've heard people say before, well, you know, trials make you a better person. And that's a fact. But I'm going to tell you something else trials do. They bring out what you really are. Huh? Somebody talk about you and you find out who you really are. Let somebody hurt you. Let somebody do something that goes against the grain. And you'll find out who you really are if you're able to forgive, if you have a forgiven heart, or if you're a person that is full of pride that justifies the way you feel. Huh? A person that doesn't forgive, what did the Lord say? He wouldn't forgive them. If you don't forgive your brother, then God's not going to forgive you. If you don't forgive, then God's not going to forgive you. If you hate your brother who you have seen, how can you say that you love the Lord whom you have not seen? Oh, the Lord knows how to walk down the pathways of our soul, step into rooms that we never knew were there, and find out where we really live. Because our God is a consuming fire. And when you fall into the hands of a living God, it's a dangerous thing to have an ugly spirit and claim to be in the church. If I'm not going to live for God, I'm just going to go out there and live it up in the world. If I'm going to get in this church, I'm going to live for God. And right now, I feel like I'm in the church. And if the Lord keeps taking me down some of the paths, I have to keep examining myself, because I found out that none of us are perfectly clean. Nobody. We're constantly being cleansed by the Spirit in the blood of Jesus. And every spirit, whether it's a judgmental spirit or a spirit that don't care, it's just the same in God's eyes. God knows how to measure us. He's got a measuring stick like nobody else. He knows everything about us. Now, there's no Santa Claus in the flesh. There are some that dress, and there are Santa Clauses that dress up. But as far as somebody knowing everything, where you at, what you thinking about, that's only Jesus. And believe me, He knows it all. Even the things you don't care about Him knowing, He knows it anyway. And He knows the very thoughts and intentions of a man's heart. The thoughts and the intent, every bit of it. Everything you've got, what you intend to do with your time, what's in the back burner of your soul, He knows everything about you. He knows whether you're just sitting in this church this morning, planning on just making it to heaven, warming a pew, or He knows whether you're a set on fire inside your soul, and you're planning on turning this city upside down and seeing a revival sweep through the heart of this city, and souls be changed. God knows every bit of that. He knows who is living in comfortable zone and who is living on the front line. The other night when I saw the vision across this church, I saw some people that was on the front line, swords, shields, and they was ready to go to battle. They was ready to fight for the kingdom of God and to see God pour out His Spirit in the last day. And there was others who really just didn't care. They was kind of just in the cloud. I had a dream last night. Don't even know if it do me any good to share it. But it was concerning this church, 5 families, 5 deaths, and 5 families. And I'm going to tell you, when you live foolish and you do your own thing, you're going to pay the price eventually. It will come home. When people build their castles, when they build their castles upon sand, eventually problems are going to strike. Let me tell you something about people that build their houses anywhere. They don't really care what happens in the end anyhow. A person that is careless with their time is careless with their service. A person who is at ease in Zion has problems that they cannot even somehow or another perceive the trouble that they're in. The devil's rocking this world asleep, and he's slipped his hand into some parts of the church. He's rocking people to sleep in the church. It's a bad thing to go to sleep in the world, but it's even a worse thing to go to sleep in the church. When God's word doesn't move you, when people can come in and out the house of God and never be changed, never be changed. That's a dangerous thing. When God's word doesn't touch you, when the preacher says something that doesn't go against you, and everything's just kind of, oh yeah, go ahead on, you're not talking to me. I don't know about you, but every time a preacher begins to preach, you ought to search yourself. I don't care who you are. You need to search yourself. None of us have been around so long that we mastered living for God. It's like I said a while ago, we're constantly being cleansed by the Spirit and the blood of Jesus. We're constantly having to be corrected, and God's constantly having to keep us in order and keep us in the right direction. You're never going to come to church too much. You're never going to pray too much. You're never going to worship God too much. It's just going to be enough to get you in the kingdom of God. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. I feel the presence of the Lord in this house. I don't know about you, but I'd like to build my house on the rock. I said I'd like to build my house on the rock. Oh, hallelujah. Time will take your castles away. It won't be long. If you live a foolish life, it's going to take your castles away. It's going to do something after a while. It's going to begin to pay its way. It's going to begin to pave its way. I wrote a scripture down in the Word of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 14. And behold, at evening tide, trouble. And before the morning, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. Also, verse number 7 in chapter number 18. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and killed, and from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto. A nation meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. Look, he said that in the last days, that the flood was going to come up on the world, and it was going to reach every place except Mount Zion. It was going to get every place up to the place at Mount Zion. It was going to reach the place that everything that was not sold out and dedicated in the top of the mount was going to be caught up and destroyed in a world that doesn't know God. I want to tell you today that it is important that you learn to build your house in the right place. It's important that you learn to build your house up on a foundation that standeth sure, up on something that is standing in the time of storm, on something that is standing in the time of troubled waters. It's important that you know God and that you have a relationship with Him. I want to let you know that you can have a relationship with this church and not know God. Not know Him. A relationship with functions and not know the Lord. A relationship with just coming to church on certain days, and not know the Lord. You can be all over the mount, but not on the top of Mount Zion. God doesn't build His city on the side of the mountain. He builds it on top. And some of us are lingering along the sides. We're in places we shouldn't be in the church. We're not where we need to be. Now, this isn't popular. This isn't going to win me. Oh, that's a good sermon, pat on the back today. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to get where we're supposed to be in this. We need to build our house where it's supposed to be. In the foundation, come on top of Mount Zion, the city of the living God. We need to find, come on, we need to find our place in the church. We need to find direction today. We're not careful. The world does it every day. They build castles of sand. I can kind of see a little boy walking along a beach somewhere with a bucket, packing sand in that bucket, flipping it over and shaking it out on the sand, and with a spoon digging out little holes in it. In the back of his mind, he's building a castle. He's building a place that he'd like to live. And so that little boy is working on that castle. Maybe he reaches down here and gets some Coke bottle tops and sticks it in there for doorways and windows. And he picks up a popsicle stick that he's been eating and lays it across for a bridge. And he's building a castle in the back of his mind. He's building a residential place that he'd like to be, but the only difference in him and maybe his daddy that's living a life of carelessness, that's not concerned about the coming of the Lord, that's not concerned about the work of God or the end time that's coming up on this world, is that little boy can see the tidal wave coming in. Come on, every hour it gets a little high, and he knows before the day's over it's going to wash his sin castle away. But this world, there are people that live lives of sorrow and sloppiness and idleness that are building castles that don't realize there's a coming tidal wave. Come on, a tidal wave that's going to wash away their world. And they better know God. I said, you better know God. When the tide comes in, you better have a foundation. If you're not careful, everything that goes wrong will run you out of the church. My, my, my. Because you don't know what you really are until things start going wrong. And waves battering at you constantly. Salt in your eyes. And burning your sores. You wish it would stop, but you built your house on sand. You got to build your house on rocks. You got to build your house on something stable. Something that will last. Something that will hold up. Something that's got fortitude. Something that has a backbone to it. Something that's real. Listen to me. The Lord spoke to me the other night. He said, my people have contaminated praise. They have contaminated worship. They
They got things in their life that stink in my eyesight. They got things in their life that smell bad in my nostrils. There's things that they're holding on to. There's ways and attitudes that they're holding on to that I will not accept their praise. I will not accept their worship. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying there are people that are holding on to attitudes. They're holding on to the past. Unforgiven spirits. Bitterness. Come on now. You gotta cast that junk out of your heart. You gotta let the blood of Jesus purify your soul. I'm glad I found the real church. Huh? I'm glad I found the real church. I'm glad I found a church that preached the truth. Where nobody's afraid. The preachers are not afraid to hold back the word of the Lord. Someone, they're not afraid to tell it like it is. They're not afraid to tell it like it is and to say it like it's supposed to be said. They don't have to dodge the issue and go around it. They can say it just like it's supposed to be said. I want to tell you something. This Bible's still right. Adultery, fornication, lies, thieves. Come on. They're all going to have their place in the lake of fire. Drunkards. Come on, drunkards. They're going to have their place in the lake of fire. It's still the word of God. It's still the Bible. And if you build on that junk, you build a house on sand. Sand castles. Sand castles. They look good to the average eye, but they're weak. Destruction's coming. Destruction's coming. In the middle of great revival, destruction's going to fall. Because people won't listen. People won't hear. They listen with the physical and the physical ears and the physical eyes, but not spiritual. No depth to their soul. No relationship to God. Relationship to the church, but not to God. God doesn't want you to just have a relationship with this church. He wants you to go beyond this church. He wants you to get in a place that nobody else can get. He wants you to find a place on top of the mountain where nobody else is at. And begin to build your house. It's you and God. Come on, it's every man for himself. It's you and the Holy Ghost. Almighty God. The floodwaters are coming. The floodwaters are coming. That's what we've been facing is floodwaters that just keep coming up against us. And we best know where we stand when floodwaters keep coming. The tide gets high in the evening time. It begins to rise up against us. And he said nations that are going to be trodden down. Places that one time were strong that everybody looked to are going to fall apart. They're going to fall to pieces. And people are going to look down from Mount Zion and say, how did this happen? People that I thought were going to make it. People that looked so good on the outside. But a flood came along. It's amazing what a flood will do. You ever notice when the flood settles down, the debris, houses that look so strong, that's crumbled, some old trees that look like they were standing so tall, fall down when floods hit places. It makes a total difference. I don't know about you, but we ought to be able to build our house that when the flood comes in, it doesn't shake us, it doesn't move us, it doesn't change us. Let's clap our hands one more time to Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be just like that. The problem wasn't that maybe they didn't believe Noah, but the problem was they didn't know when. The Bible said they knew not until the flood came. What was wrong? Tell me why they didn't know. Had a preacher. Had a place for safety. Why didn't they know? I think it was 120 years he preached. Why didn't they know? Why didn't they hear? My God, we keep preachers around and they die and still don't change. Another preacher raised up. They don't live 120 years no more. But there's still no change. Won't come in. It's amazing to me. God got more animals in the ark than it did people. Hogs. Huh? He had more animals than did people because they listened. They moved. Let me tell you, Noah didn't go out and herd them up and have to wrestle and fight them. The voice of the Lord said, go. And they begin to march. And God tells us, build your house on a rock. I want a revival. I want a revival to sweep in this house. I know that this is a praying church. I'm telling you, I didn't come here to throw stones. I didn't come here to act like I was mad. I didn't come here to try to get everybody revved up over something and then kill your engines and walk back out of here like you came. But I came here with one thing in my mind, that we're going to reach out the heart of this city. We're going to see revival flood this area. Come on, I don't know about you, but if hell brings a flood up against the church, then the church ought to bring a flood up against hell. There ought to be a flood of praise, a flood of prayer, a flood of worship, a flood of consecration. Somebody help me love the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm going to build my castle on a mountaintop. I'm going to build my castle on a mountaintop somewhere. I read a story of the man that brought down Al Capone. I believe his name was Eddie O'Connor. And when I read that, I wonder why would this man, and what I understand, he was a very rich lawyer. All the money he wanted, as far as worldly success, he had it. But behind the scenes, he was caught up in a gangster mob. He was one of the leading men. What made this man turn in Al Capone? What made him change? What made him turn against somebody when he wasn't even in trouble? He had a son. He wanted more for his son than to live a life of being afraid, being shot in the midnight, living a life of something on the outside, a stern looking, broken and scared all the time on the inside. And so he said he wanted more for his son. And so he turned him in. He turned in all the rest of the mob. They made a clean house and went in and began to handcuff people and bring them and ship them over. I can't remember the prisons out on the water, but they shipped them out in the middle of nowhere. While he was there, somehow they sent word that this was the man. He's the one that's going to testify against him. And sure enough, he did. And somewhere between the courtroom and days after, somebody gunned him down. But his son lived to be a veteran in war. And I believe it's in Chicago that the main airport there is named after his son now because of the heroic deeds that he did. Now his son's name is lit up in the lights. When you walk through the city, you see his name standing up in the airport. How did that all change? Because the man got sick and tired of being what he was. He didn't want his family to have to go like this forever. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to walk in tradition, if you live love like you live, then go ahead on. But if there's somebody in here that's willing to change today, God allow you to build your house on the rock. He'll put your name somewhere in the skyline. He'll write your name in his book. Somebody love the Lord in here. My Lord, somebody worship the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. Somebody love the Lord. Come on, somebody love the Lord in here. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. I feel the hand of God in this house. Oh, Almighty God, Almighty God, Almighty God, Almighty God. I don't know about you, but I'm putting it on the line today. I'm putting it on the line. I want God to do something in my life. I want more than a rattle. I want God to give us a revival. I want more than just what everybody thinks about me. I want it to be what people think about the Lord that I serve. I want them to see Jesus Christ in me. I want them to see a house that's been built on a rock, that every doctrine that comes along doesn't shake me. Come on, not every ungodly doctrine that comes along, somebody waving their hand saying, we got the Spirit over here, but they're not living the life. I don't want that to move me. I want to tell you something. I like the song that Brother Glenn said about I'm still wearing the same clothes though. Well, that's true to a point. Yeah, we are. We might be still wearing the same clothes, but I tell you, there is a change in our identity. And the world does see the identity. And the world does know who you're in the church. And the world does know where it's been a definite change somewhere. Things start changing. They start changing. When you build your house in the right place, it starts changing. I look around in this church and I see people that's been. I see a vision of people. I'm going to tell you, two types. Some of them are people that are in the sand and salt water's burning their back and they're just picking up memories of mud. That's all they got, memories of mud. Because they built their castles in the wrong places. It's mud dripping through their fingers. Young, elderly, Some are gone. Some are still here. Muddy memories. Memories of years ago, revival that used to be here. All this stuff. Holding on to past feelings won't let go to go into the promised land and have great revival in your own life. Muddy memories. Dripping through your fingertips. Then there's others that I see that have been strong, strong like a one of these beings holding up the building. Pillars in the church. The salt water burning their eyes, and the storm has caused storms to come up on the back. But they're not in the sand. They built their house on a rock. They're standing in the storm, and they tell us that we'll just hang on. God's going to do something. Something about somebody that has fortitude. Something about elders that will teach the young people how to pray. Something about a mama that said, doesn't matter what we're going through, we're going to get up and go to church anyway. Something about when children go through things, that when other children look at them, they're still worshiping God. It's something about young people, that when everybody else doesn't want to live for God, there's still somebody standing up that says, we're going to make it. We're going to live for God. We're going to build a house on a rock somewhere. Somebody lift your hands, oh Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I want you to stand to your feet with me this morning in this house. Oh, Master. I know I haven't said anything new. I didn't preach a masterpiece. Never have and never will. I can see Lot's wife leaving the city. They've been warned from the very beginning, don't look back. I can see Lot's wife trying to get out of that city. She had to go. Time to move. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was an imp of hell. Just that poor woman. Turn around. Turn around. One hand pulling her this way, another hand pulling her out of the city. Lot running with his wife's hand, trying to get her to go. Those two daughters. The Bible said when he tried to tell the son-in-law, he seemed as though he was one that mocked. Something was pulling at her. Caused Lot's wife somewhere in the middle of the portrait of time to turn back and look at that city. And all she saw was fire, hell stones mingled with fire. The Lord turned to the pillar of fire. There she was, caught with her eyes on the world. I thought a lot of times, I really wondered where my hands are going to be, where my eyes are going to be, what my mind's going to be. When she puts that eastern sky. I wonder what your mind's on this morning. I wonder if you feel the waves begin to wash your sandcastle away. Let me tell you what the little boy did. He got his father's hand, and they left that place before the tide overcome him on the beach somewhere. I see kind of a vision of the Lord with his hand stretched out in this place today. He's telling people, if you want to stay in a place and see your life washed away. You stay there. The God said, come on with me. Take my hand. Oh, I remember the day I took the hand. I remember the day. I remember what shape my life was in. Seemed like a long way somewhere around that third being back there to the front of this church. When I got up and made my move, I'm going to tell you something. There was something that began to click inside of my soul. There was a burden that rolled away and sand began to wash beneath me, and I began to feel a solid place as I stepped up around the altar. That's something I never felt before. I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, this is where you need to build your house. This is a third place. Someone, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen a lot of stormy waters. I've seen some storms. I've seen some bad times. But he's always been a solid rock. He's been a nail in a sure place. I've had something to hold on to. Oh, somebody reach your hand up to the Lord now. I wonder if there's somebody in here today in the Holy Ghost. You need the Lord to do something special for you. You need God to do something special in your life today. You need God to move in your life. You got some muddy memories, or you've been through some things, and you want God to wash it all away. You want to start over. You need God to help you. I know you look like you're in a church. I know there's a certain smile on your face today, a gleam in your eye, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the salt water's done. I'm talking about the pain, the sore, the agony inside your soul. Maybe somebody's just kind of lingering around on the side of the mountain. You need to get up on top of the mountain today. I'm going to invite somebody to come on to the top of the mountain. I wonder if there's anybody who wants to come to the top today. In the name of Jesus right now. Maybe they sing something in the Holy Ghost right now. Or they singing right now in the name of Jesus. Reach over and take your neighbor's hand. All through this house. And ask the Lord God to keep it. What we're doing is we're building a chain today, Lord. And Master, we need to get to the top. I wonder if somebody maybe would say, Lord, I need to go to the top today. And come on down front here and find your place to play. Maybe when you come and you might invite somebody to come with you. Or if you want to come, you don't want to come by yourself, ask somebody to come with you. Come on right now. There's some coming right now. There's others in here. Oh, come on, you don't want to go. Come on, somebody come on down here. Somebody that I want to start over, God.